Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. I'm glad you're here for the conversation. You can always go to stevegruber.com, find out more, send me an email. Tell me what's on your mind, no matter where you may find yourself this day. My next guest, Thomas Koulopoulos, is the chairman and founder of the Delphi Group, a 30-year-old Boston-based think tank that focuses on disruptive technology innovation. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? He's also the founding partner of AcroVantage Ventures, which invests in early-stage technology startups. The author of 13 books and much, much more. The question is, will AI replace jobs or increase productivity or both? Thomas, good to have you here.
Steve, great to be with you. Thank you.
So, all right, put your finger on the pulse of AI. Does it have one? No, it's fake. At any rate, where do you see us going? Is there good? Is there bad? Is there a mixed bag here? What do we have?
It's a mixed bag. With any technology, you've got the pluses and you've got the minuses, right? I think the obligation we have as a society is to keep the pluses a bit above the minuses. AI is going to cause a lot of disruption. There's no doubt about it. You said, will it take away jobs? Absolutely, will take away jobs. But it's also going to create a lot of jobs as well. So we've got to look at both sides of the balance sheet.
Jobs have always been taken away by technology. The internal combustion engine took away a lot of jobs from people that had horses. The train took away people that had jobs on barges. Cotton gin took jobs away from people that were picking seeds out of cotton by hand. Jobs change, but they go to new places, and generally it works out. AI, however, is so all-encompassing, it makes me wonder, Thomas, if it displaces too many people to be able for them to migrate into new opportunities. That's the real question to me. If AI could make me a burger at a kiosk that's pretty decent, and it can do management of my accounting, and it can do things like answer the phone and sound like a real person or make videos and look like me. It's so all-encompassing, it concerns me that people do find no place else to go. What do you think?
Yeah, so look, you've got an excellent point there. I think the other side of that, Steve, is not only is it all-encompassing, but the point we make in the book, in our book, Gigatrends, is that it's going to happen very, very fast. And in the past, whether it was, the cotton mill or whether it was the looms in the 17th and 18th century or the factory, it took decades, sometimes hundreds of years, for these jobs to be replaced. So we could retrain people. And, back in 1800, 90% of the global economy was agriculture. Today it's, single-digit percentage points, and yet we feed eight times as many people. But we had hundreds of years to do that. The real issue with AI is how quickly it's going to happen. I think that's what's going to take us by surprise. When Jamie Dimon says that we'll be working a four-day work week potentially, they're not going to close down that fifth day. AI will be picking up a lot of the slack. But a better way to look at it is that it's not going to take away jobs in their entirety. Some jobs will go away. It's going to become a collaborator as well. So what you and I do will be amplified. It'll be accelerated by using AI. So it'll make our jobs a bit easier. But yeah, you bring up a good point. As a society, we're going to have to deal with this in a time frame that is without any precedent whatsoever. And that's going to be extraordinarily disruptive to a lot of people and a lot of industries.
So how do you manage that? How do you come to manage that disruption? Disruption is good sometimes, but disruptive technology in this particular case may not be so good.
Well, look, let's look at it in certain cases. You have to look at it case by case, I think. So in healthcare, the problem is that we can't graduate enough physicians, and we're all getting older. We make this point in the book. As we get older, we have more complex issues.
Hold on. Let's talk about we can't graduate enough physicians because we have too much government control of healthcare, and therefore physicians can't make the kind of money they once did, so they go do something else. The greatest minds and the greatest talents often are attracted to the greatest opportunity for the greatest wealth. That's the way the world works. That's why we have more lawyers than we do doctors. The world's backwards because lawyers are rewarded more, even though it takes a much better student to be a surgeon. But we're not rewarding doctors the way they once were. Anyhow, that's just an aside. I don't mean to get in the weeds, but go ahead.
No, but if it's any consolation, I think we'll get rid of more lawyers and we'll get rid of more doctors. So maybe that'll help us rebalance things a bit.
But look, that'd be nice. Docs, AI could do legal work, that's for sure, right? AI could look at a small claims case or a civil case or whatever and run right down through it, and then boom, 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 here's your argument. Oh, and here's your brief, because an AI program could write a legal brief pretty easily, right?
Well, absolutely it can, and that's one of the points that we're making in the book, is that AI is going to take away a lot of that drudgery, that administrative stuff that today we pay dearly for. Same applies to healthcare. We pay dearly for things in healthcare, claims processing, that are purely administrative. If we get rid of those administrative pieces of the puzzle, we'd pay a whole lot less. Regulation's a piece of this. At some point, we got to legislate ethical AI and make sure we put guardrails on this thing so it doesn't spin out of control. And that's an obligation we've got as well. And that's going to take some willpower politically and socially to be able to do that. Ethical AI is a big issue that we talk about a great deal in the book.
So what about, let's talk about education for a second. You're talking about becoming a lawyer, becoming a doctor. But what about the ability of these kids to just flat out cheat? They're not writing their term papers. They're not actually learning. Look, the point of writing is to explore your mind, your intelligence, your use of words and language, your way to express yourself. If you're not expressing yourself and it's just an AI machine expressing for you, man, you're not too bright when that's all said and done, I don't think. I don't think you are. Am I wrong?
Well, maybe it's going to elevate how bright we are. You know, maybe in some way the really motivated kids, the ones that really want to use their creativity and their energy, will use AI to do a better job of that. There's no doubt that a lot of folks are going to use this in malicious ways. They're going to use it in ways that are devious. They're going to cheat using AI. We got a lot of that ahead of us, and we are going to be dealing with that. There's no doubt. But I think for those that truly have the brilliance and have the creative capacity, AI is going to give them a tool by which they can amplify that creativity. And that's always the case, isn't it? I mean, some of us are going to up our game, and some of us are not. Those that don't up their game are going to be left behind. Those that do are going to be that much more better positioned for the future.
Yeah, well, you've written 13 books, right?
Right. Yeah, this is 14. GigaTrends is book 14.
Number 14. Right. Let's talk about that in the publishing world or online or Substack or wherever it might be. The ability for AI to impersonate somebody. Because if I work with AI, different programs for a different period of time, it learns me, basically, right? It learns how I write, how I think, how I talk, how I present myself. How does that stop book 15 from being something just generated by a machine?
Well, part of the way it stops book 15 in my case is that I enjoy that creative process. So I might use AI to help me do some research. But at the end of the day, expressing myself, my voice creatively is very important to me. The other piece of this is that AI is not sentient. It mimics us. And we can tell as human beings when something is being mimicked. The deep fakes are going to get much better or much worse depending on how you want to look at it. And we are going to be surrounded by things that are going to test us. There's going to be an arms race. We have to figure out ways to be able to identify those deep fakes using AI. So there's going to be some back and forth there. We are going to be perplexed by a lot of these deep fakes. It's going to be difficult to, as human beings, understand what's real and what's not real. No doubt about that. But at the same time, you know, I think that this gives us enormous opportunity to create new value, to express our creativity in new ways, to innovate in ways that we haven't been able to before, and to tackle some of these big challenges that we have, not just healthcare, but other challenges. We talk about energy and power. Transportation, all of these will require AI in order for us to be able to deal with these enormous challenges. So we need the tool. We need the tool, and we have to use it wisely.
Right, and there are certain places where it's going to apply well, some places where it'll not apply as well. My concern, again, continues to be the ability for people to, I don't know, game the system, cheat, you know, use AI to be a stand-in for them, for their work, and they still get compensated. Yeah. I mean, those are legitimate fears, are they not?
They are legitimate fears. The same thing happened with cybersecurity, though. You know, cyber has become an incredibly large industry, one of the largest industries in the world. Cybercrime is growing rapidly. Every technology, as you said at the beginning, has pluses and it has minuses. And we're going to have to deal with that and come to grips with how we manage this very, very powerful tool. But technology is, it's like standing down a tsunami. The technology is going to come. It's here. It's moving very, very quickly. Google, Apple, Amazon, Meta, they're all investing in it enormously. So the tsunami is there. We can't steer it down. We have to learn how to manage it.
Well, there you have it. Great conversation. Thomas Koulopoulos, chairman and founder of the Delphi Group. Real quickly, if people want to find your brand new book and talk more about this, where can they find it?
Amazon is the best place to go. Gigatrends.io is the website. Lots of information there, infographics, a lot of news and current events that we're talking about as they relate to the book.
Thomas, greatly appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
Yeah. It's a conversation that has a lot more to it, as it, you know, just continues to go and go and go. And, well, we'll see where it ends up, that's for sure. All right. We're going to take a break here on the program. You can find out more about us at SteveGruber.com. SteveGruber.com. Check that out. Do that during the break. I'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.